Hallelujah. Did I introduce myself or not? Oh, okay. My little sweet wife, she says hi. She couldn't get off work this week, so she wasn't able to make it. She's praying. Prayer's good. Prayer's necessary. Prayer's essential. Prayer's everything. If you're not a person of prayer, better change it. Better change it. Matter of fact, if you're a person of prayer, you better jump in deeper. You can't always be the same. You got to jump in deeper. You know, when you jump in deeper in places of prayer, He takes you different places. You begin to go in a different area, and you begin to go into different rivers. And when you get into those different rivers, you begin to start reaching out for people you've never met before. You begin to reaching out into situations that have never been reached before. That's the waves in the areas of prayer. If you're not that person of prayer, you guys, when do you guys meet for prayer here? You have a specific day that you guys pray here at the church? I thought you guys met on a particular day during the week. So if you're available Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday mornings, talk to Pastor Barbara. I'm telling you, I don't know if we understand how essential it is in the time we live to be people of prayer. There's things going on that aren't going to change without people dropping to their knees, without people entering in and thwarting and turning situations that no other way can be turned or thwarted. We're at a critical point in the history. Hallelujah. I could go on further with that, but praise the Lord. Turn in your Bible real quick to Mark chapter 10. And we'll go to verse... Hey, thank you guys so much. So much for being obedient, for being hungry, for being thirsty. Peter, for pushing further. Peter, for pushing further. Because if you don't push further, we won't get further. We'll always be the same. We'll always stay at the same place. We can't stay at the same place any longer. We're not afforded that privilege any longer. The only privilege we have now is to push in deeper. Nina, we have to push in deeper. You know that, sweetheart. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. And I know you guys are the ones that will do that. Thank you for making me not have to sing, because I was going to sing. Praise the Lord. My wife told me I couldn't, but she's not here to stop me. And they came to Jericho, verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." You think that's what his cry sounded like? Huh? It probably was, wasn't it? Probably was quieter than that, right? He was probably more reserved. He was probably calm. His answer was coming by. His anticipation was coming. I don't know what you anticipated when you came to church this morning. I don't know what your expectation was, but you know, that determines a lot of things. As we read this, you'll see. His miracle was coming by. And you know, if he wasn't anticipating that miracle, his miracle would have went on by. Now let's see if we can read that again. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, what do you think he had heard? What causes a man to do this? What causes a man to cry out? I mean, it said that he was blind Bartimaeus. How would you like to have your name in the Bible like that? Blind Leon. Wouldn't that be awesome? No, it wouldn't be awesome. Because in heaven, they're telling him that right now. Hey, blind Bartimaeus, come on over here. Hey, boys, I told you. I ain't blind no more. They wrote it in the Bible. I didn't. And when he heard it was Jesus, see, he heard that Jesus was a healer. He heard Jesus was a miracle worker. I'm pretty sure that he heard stories of other people receiving their sight. So he's anticipating the miracle worker coming by. He's anticipating. Let me ask you this question as well, since we're talking to that. When you open up your Bible, what do you anticipate your Bible saying to you? When you pray, what do you anticipate the Spirit of God saying to you? When you enter into worship, what do you anticipate in those times of worship? When you walk into the Walmart, what do you anticipate? When you go to the gas station, what do you anticipate? When you come to church, what do you anticipate? Those are valid questions, because everybody anticipates something. Some people have been beat from life so hard that every time they start going up, they expect that foot to fall and knock them down. So they anticipate hardship. I deal with drug addicts and alcoholics. That's what I do. I've seen it over and over and over. A man that's free for 3 months, and then he's anticipating the fall. And what happens? He falls. Oh, but Jesus. No, his anticipation was the fall. So he looked for it. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me. Right? I mean, that's crying out, isn't it? No, you think it was a little more boisterous than that? You think it was a little more louder than that? Because you know there's a crowd following Jesus. Now, I don't know if you've ever been around a crowd, but usually when there's a crowd, you don't hear a whole lot of things, especially if you're in the middle of the crowd. How many have ever been in a parade before, sat on a float? Anybody ever sat on a float? Did you hear every voice in that crowd? Did you hear any voice in that crowd except for that loud hillbilly that kept shouting? You don't hear that. His miracle's coming by. Jesus! Thou Son of David. Now, he didn't say it like that either. No, he's getting after it. You know why he's getting after it? Look at here, verse 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. You know, sometimes there's things that you're going after and people tell you, come on now. I was telling Reuben last night, me and my wife, we do recovery for people with addictions. And I went to a guy's place. He's got a ranch. I went to this guy's place to talk to him about what he was doing. And we sat down. He was in his recliner, and me and Audrey were sitting on a couch right next to him. And I'm telling him what the Lord had told us to do, how he had showed us things should happen, and what our vision, because our vision is the family unit. It's not necessarily individuals. It's the family unit. It's the mama, it's the daddy, and it's the kids. That's our vision. And I'm explaining to him our vision. And I see him shaking his head no. He's going like this. And finally he set his chair down, got off the reclined position. He sat forward, looked me in the eyes, and he said, That'll never happen. You know, I'm probably not the person you want to say that to. What would be your response? Because you know we're polite and courteous and all that, right? Because we're polite and courteous to the devil sometimes. He begins to torment your family and you keep your mouth shut. He begins to torment everything around you and you keep your mouth shut. He begins to torment everything concerning you. Yeah, praise the Lord. That was for them guys over there, not you guys. They heard me. I sat at the end of the couch. I said, the devil's a liar! Amen. Well, that just changed the whole conversation. Now we got to go home. I didn't call him the devil. I'm not going to allow those kind of seeds to be planted. I have an expectancy. Nothing's going to change that expectancy. This is what they did. And many charged him that he should be quiet. Shut up, fool! That's Jesus. He'll throw you some candy in a minute. When the parade goes by, you'll get your candy. Now shut up. That's basically what they told him. Hold your peace. Be quiet. And he did. As we read, he did. He said, yeah, you boys is right. I kind of feel like him. I mean, man, oh man, when you tell somebody they the devil, I didn't tell him. I didn't want to hear those words. You know how much longer we had that conversation that night? 30 seconds. Say, time to go. We get in the car. My wife says, well, that didn't go too good. He should have said something different. He would have went different. I'm sorry. I can't do much about my personality. Come on, man. I know who I am in Christ. I know who I was. I was a drug addict from the age of 12 and an alcoholic. I know who I am. I know who set me free. So you ain't going to get in the way of doing anything different. Praise the Lord. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. He cried the more a great deal. In your expectancy, it's time for you to cry a great more. It's time for you to go after what you believe in him for. When you open up your Bible and you sit down to read your Bible, my thought, my prayer, my cry, Lord, teach me that which I don't know. Show me that which I need to know. Write your word upon my heart. In time of need, I'll have it to stand on. And you know when you do that, that's what happens. When I got born again, I had never opened a Bible. My wife had one, but she opened it. I never had. I'd never been to church, so I didn't know a lot of things that a lot of people know. But the day he delivered me on the bank of the Rock River, he showed up. Jesus was there that day. After me. I used to stand in front of a mirror, and I would look at that guy in the mirror, and I would remind him who the Bible said he was. If any man be in Christ, the man that's in Christ is a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away, and all things have become new. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Man, you get revelation of that scripture, and boy, you won't be the same. I only know by personal experience. Now, Son of David, have mercy on me. Again, his expectancy was not going to be changed. I'm telling you, some of the things that ruin our expectancy are the things that go on between our ears. We get in a process of thinking too much. When we think too much, we find ourselves in a bad place. I think over in Philippians, he said to think on these things, right? What did he tell us to think on? Anybody know? Because I can't remember. Huh? Did you hear what she said? Things that are lovely, things that are true, things of a good report. Come on, what are we thinking on? How bad things are, how bad things could be, how bad things might happen? Come on. Where's our expectancy in all that? It begins to wane. And then we do what a lot of people do, the devil this and the devil that. Well, the devil this and the devil that, he got no say. He got no say in my life. Yeah, praise the Lord. When you hear me say certain things, please don't think I'm arrogant or prideful. When you start studying who you are in Christ, you start studying that name, you begin to talk different. You begin to walk different. You begin to look at things different. When you spend enough time on your knees and enough time in His presence, you walk different. You talk different. You act different. Yeah, praise the Lord. And Jesus stood still. Man, oh man. He stood still. And commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, now it's a different tone. Hey, be of good cheer. You don't have to hold that peace no more. Come on up here. You rascal, he wants to talk to you. I mean, that's what they said. Now it's different. Originally it was, shut up, you old blind beggar. Now it's, oh, hey, the master wants you. Come on, I'll walk you up. Jesus, I brought him up. Look. And he casting away his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. You understand the importance of that garment? That garment was who he was. That garment signified of his standing in society. It signified his abilities to beg, his abilities to receive. It told everybody who he was. I do a lot of stuff in the prisons. I do a lot of stuff in jails. Boys will have tattoos all over them. I'll ask them, what does that tattoo mean? Every one of those tattoos signifies something in their life. If you've got a tattoo, that tattoo was not by accident. It signifies something in your life. When he took that garment and threw it to his side, what he said was, I ain't never longer living that life again. His expectancy said, you know what? This is it. My miracle is here. Again, I ask you what you expected when you came to church this morning. If you expected a hillbilly to stand before you and grab a mic and shout and be stupid, well, you probably got that. But if you expected the Holy Ghost, if you expected Jesus to show up, if you expected your miracle to be here today, it's here. It's here right now. It's here right now. Your miracle's here right now. In a moment when we go to pray for people that want prayer, I ask you to cast away your garment because you ain't going to need it any longer. Your medication does not signify who you are. That's not who you are. Yeah, praise the Lord. And he came to Jesus, and Jesus answered him and said unto him, what do you want me to do? Isn't that an interesting question? What do you want me to do? I'm pretty sure Jesus noticed he was blind, but yet he was still begging. So what is it that he's wanting? Is he wanting 2 quarters in his cup? Or is he wanting his sight? He's very specific. What do you want? Because sometimes people will settle for the 2 quarters in their cup and walk away from the healing because they've been used to it. Because they got comfortable in that place. You can never be comfortable there. Lord, that you'd make them uncomfortable. Lord, you'd make them uncomfortable in that place. Or they would be after you and run after you. And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. He was very specific. When he was crying out, that's what he was crying out. He was calling on the covenant that was his. I mean, he said up here, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He's calling on the covenant. He's calling on the benefits of the covenant. Are you? You know, your healing was already purchased for you. 2,000 years ago it was purchased. You know, some of the... Hallelujah. Some of the torment that goes on between your ears and at night when things get a little darker and you lay in that bed and things get a little bit of tormenting going on, you know, that's already been taken care of. But if I don't expect and grab a hold of that, well, then I can't get away from that tormenting. You know, sometimes pain in life will torment you. Sometimes pain in life will torment you. And Jesus said unto him, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. And about 4 months, 2 days, and 36 minutes, he received his sight. Or was it 4 years, 12 days, and 16 hours, 5 minutes, and 10 seconds? No, it was immediate. That's what your expectancy does. Your expectancy creates an immediate. An immediate. An immediate. It doesn't create a waiting period. It creates an immediate. And immediately he received his sight. And follow Jesus in the way. Isn't that very interesting? He followed Jesus in the way. I wonder if he was one of the 120 that was hanging out in the upper room. If you're going to follow in the way, I'm pretty sure you ain't going down the block and say, well, I can see a couple things now. I think I'm going to go see what's over here. Sweetheart, what are you expecting in your junior year? What are you expecting in your high school? What are you expecting in your youth group? What are you expecting? What are you expecting, sweetheart? What are you expecting? You know, I don't know if you notice this, but I've got some blonde streaks in my hair, and I've got some blonde streaks on my chin. I'd give anything to be your age. And to be where you're at. Because you love him. You love his presence. It's like what I was saying to Marcus. That kid is going to turn this place upside down. He's 10 years old. I told you, I started doing drugs when I was 12. 10 years old? He'll far exceed any miracles that we've ever done. Where'd I even go? No. I seen you over there. I just checked to see if you knew where you're at. Buddy, what do you expect? Aren't you the presidente? Huh? What do you expect? See, I said that in Spanish. That was good, huh? What do you expect? Huh? Huh?
The miraculous.
What?
The miraculous.
What are you crying out for, brother?
Jesus.
Jesus and the miraculous. And that's what you'll have. That's what you have. But it won't come against some of these over here telling you, shut up, shut up, shut up. Oh, I'm sorry, sweetheart. I got too loud. It won't come without some of that. You see what he did, right? It caused him to cry out the more. You're not going to shut a man up that's expecting. It's like that woman giving birth. When she's ready to have the kid, you're going to tell her, hey, shut up. You could try it. If you're in the room next to her, you could try it. And then somebody will pry your hand off, her hand off your throat. No, they say things. They get mean. Since my little sweetheart's not here, I'll tell on her. Man, she got mean. Got mean as old snake. All I did was tell her to be quiet. And I get, apparently you can't do that. I didn't get a rule book, so I didn't know the rules. Brother, you set the tone. Your expectancy as a president sets the tone. It sets the tone. It sets the tone for everything. She gets to set the tone too. Where'd your buddy go? Oh, he did? Oh, okay. You got to be sharing what you guys expect. And the cool thing about being president, man, that all goes down from the president. If you as president believe something else or expected something else, then that's what you talk about. So not only do we now expect it, but we walk in it. How do we walk in it? How do we walk in the miraculous? How do we walk in the miraculous? Huh?
Actions.
Actions. We don't stand back. It's actions. Right? It's demonstrated actions. Because it's not you doing it anyway. So there's no pressure on you. Zero. The pressure's all on him. I'm not sure if he can handle it, but he might be able to. Again, I want to hit on this again. What are you expecting? What did you expect when you came to church this morning? What are you expecting when you leave church at 7 o'clock tonight? Since we don't have church in Mexico tonight, man, we go all night now. What are you expecting the next time you set yourself to pray? What are you expecting the next time you set yourself to worship? Because I can pretty much tell you that when they come up on this stage and they begin to play, they know whether or not you're going to jump in with them. Because then it's like rust on a spoke, trying to get that bike to move. What'd they do last night? Now, they're not going to tell you that. That's why I will. Come on. They got to go 4, 5, 6, 8, 12, 14, 200 songs before the momentum starts going. What do we expect? What's our expectation? What's your expectation when you open up your Bible? You notice I didn't ask what your thoughts were. I asked what your expectation was. Nina, when you set your heart to write a song, what's your expectation, sweetheart, with that song? Your expectation is his heart. You don't know sometimes the chords, the beats. You don't know any of that. You just know what he's telling you. And then you're diligently and carefully putting it to words. And then all of a sudden, all of a sudden, now somebody else comes in and they begin to plunk on the string violin thing. And next thing you know, it all starts coming together. Then the kid's sitting behind the drums, all of a sudden he starts hitting something, and you're like, whoa, wait a minute, that's it. It's because you set yourself for expectancy. You positioned yourself. Now I could, and I won't, but I could go around this room and ask every single person here, what are you expecting? The chances are I would not get the same answer from every single person until maybe you were down the line and you said, oh, wait a minute, that's a kind of a good answer. I think that's what I'm expecting too. No, what do you expect? Every person's at a different place. I realize that and know that. But God ain't. He's ever present. He's here right now. If you expected a miracle today, you will get a miracle today. If you expected healing in your body, you will get healing in your body today. If you expected to be set free, you will be set free today. And it's got everything to do with you, nothing to do with us. What did he say to blind Bartimaeus? What do you want me to do? And blind Bartimaeus said, well, Lord, if you'd make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and maybe give me a couple of nickels, you know what he would have received? A couple of nickels and a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And went the rest of his life wishing, hoping, wondering, questioning. We was interviewing a guy for our house that we have, and the guy came to the house for the interview. And as we're going through the interview process, you know, you're always listening on the inside. Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? What do you want to do, Lord? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? And me and the guy that was interviewing him, after we got done interviewing him, we went outside. We had a conversation about this guy, whether or not he'd be a good fit for our house. And we said, yeah. We came in, and he's eagerly sitting there waiting for that answer, yes or no. Well, I like that, because I'm not going to give it to you at that moment. So we started talking some more about the house and about the other house we're going to be getting. And he's just sitting there, man. He's not paying attention to any word I'm saying, period. So I looked at him. I said, Lance, I said, what's going on? He said, well, he said, I'm expecting an answer. I said, you are? I said, well, come back tomorrow and I'll give you an answer. You know what he said? No. I'm expecting an answer now. Man, if that doesn't do something to you. So we told him, yeah. That boy got up out of his seat and fell on the floor, crying out to God and thanking God. He wasn't thanking us. He was thanking the one that opened the door for him because of his expectancy. You know, it's a different place to be. Again, I'm going to say it again, I'm going to say it again, I'm going to say it again. When you open up your Bible, what do you expect? Because I kind of probably know, but a majority of the people just read their Bible. They don't expect anything out of their Bible. They read it. This is his love letter to you, written specifically for you and to you by him. Now, when we go to pray, it's a little bit different. When we get into a place of prayer, we expect him to do something according to our prayer. You guys got church Wednesday? So what do you expect Wednesday at church? Which hillbilly is going to be speaking Wednesday? Oh, is it worship night? Oh, that's even better. A whole bunch of hillbillies. I say that lovingly. Man, what are you expecting Wednesday during worship night? I don't know if you realize this or know this. Jesus showed up this morning. His presence began to flow in. And it began to flow in and it began to get stronger and stronger and stronger. What do you expect Wednesday? What do you expect Wednesday? Four songs and a cheeseburger? Or do you expect to come in and just drain the worship team to where they're begging you, quit expecting, we done. What if we came in with that expectancy that man, I ain't going home. I expect Jesus to show up. I expect when we get into that place, I expect that river to begin to leave its banks and begin to sweep me down into that next place I need to be. And next Sunday, what do you expect next Sunday? A preacher to get up and give three scriptures, two hallelujahs, and one amen? Or do you expect something different than that? Amen. Anybody mad yet? I can keep going. Praise the Lord. They get mad at me in the prison. I don't know why. No, they don't. They love me in the prison. He heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, and he began to cry out. It's time for the church to begin to cry out. It's time for the church in Douglas, Arizona, to begin to cry out for the souls of Douglas, Arizona. It's time for us to be uncomfortable with being comfortable. I've drove down the road before. I drive about an hour and a half to go to a prison in Oklahoma. I'll be going down the road on the interstate, and I'm passing cars. I've had to pull over because I begin to get overwhelmed, because to me, that's people driving to hell. I've seen in their car and seen the face on the guy and know that he's going to hell. If not for somebody to stand in the gap, if not for somebody to pray. I have an older guy that goes with me. He's used to me now. Praise the Lord. Took him a while. But we was going down one day, and I pulled over to the side of the road, got out of the car, laid in the grass, and started praying because unction came on me. Because I got overwhelmed by seeing the people. I got back in the car. He says, "Y'all right now?" Yeah, I'm all right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What's your expectancy? Consuelo, what's your expectancy this week? Sweetheart, what is it? Yeah. Dale, you got an expectancy this week?
I'm just expecting for my life to be changed. The whole life to be completely different from what they are now. To live a different life than what they are now. To live a blessed life.
You guys have spent months praying. It's upon us. You set yourself for months to pray. It's upon us. You set yourself apart months to pray. It's upon us. You set yourself apart crying out, "Thou son of David." You set yourself apart to do that. Now it's upon us. Hallelujah. Could we go back to that song again? Do we got the singers? You want me to sing? I'll sing. Huh? Sure, I'll do it, man. I ain't afraid. Some people are afraid. I ain't afraid. Praise the Lord. Here comes a singer. Woo! So this is what we're going to do. We're going to go back to that song again. And if you need a miracle, if you're expecting a miracle, if you came this morning expecting a miracle, when we begin to get into that song, we begin to go that direction, I want you to come up front here. Today's your day for your miracle. If you've been tormented, absolutely tormented between your ears because of other issues, because of things, if you've absolutely been tormented, today is your day for a miracle. So we're going to go back to this song. I'm going to ask everybody in this room. I don't want you to focus on the person to the right. I don't want you to focus the person on the left. I don't want you to focus the person in front. I don't want you to focus the person behind. But we're all going to stand up. And we're going to begin to focus on Him. Because He's our answer. He's our answer. And whatever you need, that's what you'll get.